It's Tuesday, June 16th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. Fort Wayne City Councilman Russ Yale introduced three new ordinances purportedly to build more accountability around the Google data center on the southeast side. Indiana's Attorney General Todd Rokita signed onto a letter with 13 other states that claims abortion-inducing drug mifepristone poses a risk to the water supply. But experts say there is no evidence to support those claims. And a bill authored by U.S. Representative Rudy Yockum would expand the use of Amber Alerts. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. Fort Wayne City Councilman Russ Yale introduced three new ordinances, purportedly to build more accountability around the Google data center on the southeast side. WBOI's Rebecca Green reports.
Fort Wayne City Councilman Russ Yale introduced three new ordinances purportedly to build more accountability around the Google data center on the southeast side. But city officials counter that the proposed ordinances are full of inaccurate information and a misunderstanding of a project Yale voted for in 2023. The first ordinance creates a, quote, quality of life task force, end quote. The second one requests information about the project's tax abatements, and the third asks for information about how money from the land sale is being spent. In a four-page letter to Yale issued Monday before Tuesday's vote, Fort Wayne Community Development Director Jonathan Leist says he was surprised to read the ordinances with, quote, no input, end quote, from the department or the councilperson representing the area. Leist said the data center is already a top 10 taxpayer in Fort Wayne. He also said the company is in full compliance with the requirements of the taxpayer agreement. An email seeking a response from Yale was not returned on Monday. For WBOI News, I'm Rebecca Green.
Indiana's Attorney General Todd Rokita is joining 13 other states and calling on the Environmental Protection Agency to put tighter restrictions on the abortion-inducing drug mifepristone, saying it poses a risk to the water supply. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, medical experts say the claims are without evidence and are part of a continued effort to limit abortion access.
Rokita signed onto a letter claiming that at-home chemical abortions have been on the rise, and that has resulted in a risk to the water supply. Women, particularly other pregnant women, could have health complications if mifepristone reaches a certain concentration. Caitlin Bernard, an OBGYN in Indianapolis, says there's no evidence for those claims.
There's certainly no data, for example, to suggest that, you know, trace amounts of mifepristone in drinking water would induce an abortion, cause complications in a pregnancy or for pregnant people.
A newly proposed list of water contaminants by the federal government does include some pharmaceuticals. That list does not include mifepristone. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
A bill authored by U.S. Representative Rudy Yockum would expand the use of Amber Alerts. The Haley Act would let police issue Amber Alerts for anyone under 18 who they believe to be a high-risk missing person. Currently, they're only for cases when an abduction can be confirmed and a child is believed to be in immediate danger. The bill is named for 17-year-old Haley Busby of Fishers. She went missing in January and was later found dead in Ohio. Investigators believe she was taken there by a man she met online. An Amber Alert was never issued because she was initially classified as a runaway. Yockum's press release says the current standard continues to leave children vulnerable to online predators. State lawmakers have also taken action since Busby's death, adding a missing children designation to the state's Silver Alert system and putting new restrictions on social media. About 150 people from different states across the Midwest traveled to the Clay County Jail Sunday, where U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainees are being held. Organizers describe themselves as a coalition of Jews and allies. WFYI's Samantha Horton reports the vigil focused on the release of a specific detainee.
The multi-faith vigil focused on Palestinian native and activist Salah Sassour. ICE took him into custody in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where he is a Muslim leader in the community and has lived for over 30 years. For about an hour, the group sang, chanted, and prayed for him, his family, and others detained. His son Karim Sassour says it's been hard to stay in touch, and the family has been unable to see him in person. He says his dad is a type 2 diabetic, and his health is declining.
He has lost almost a pound every 2 days. His health is getting worse by the day. We believe that his life is at risk.
During the vigil, Sarsour was able to get a message out that he could hear the group and thanked them for coming. I'm Samantha Horton in Brazil.
In the spring, the Fort Wayne YMCA's Boys Over 15 swim team competed at a national short course meet. With the long course season soon underway, WBOI's Ella Abbott looks at what makes this sport and the Fort Wayne Sharks so special.
Lucian Seip has been swimming with the YMCA since he was 7 years old. Nearly 10 years later, he qualified to compete at the national level in Greensboro, North Carolina. Seip says he was doing summer swim and had a few friends who encouraged him to join the competitive swimming team if he wanted to improve.
It's a very close-knit team. And then I left for a few years and I joined back and it was just as good as I remember being.
YMCA swimming began running national swimming and diving championships in 1923. Only pausing for wars and pandemics. Director of Strategy and Quality Practices Meredith Griffin says there's a rich history around kids, coaches, and volunteers getting together to take advantage of the opportunities the meets give them.
To both challenge themselves, but also celebrate achievements, to build relationships with one another, and come together belonging to a community around swimming.
The Fort Wayne Sharks Seip swim team have grown from a team of 80 to around 200 in the last few years and won the Indiana State Championship before heading to nationals. In Greensboro, the meet hosted 2,000 swimmers from 81 YMCAs across the country. Along with Seip, Max Evans also competed at the national meet. While he's been swimming since he was young, Evans only recently joined the Sharks and says his experience has greatly improved because of how much more fun and close-knit the team is. On competing at the national meet, Evan says it was a learning experience, getting to see how differently others approach the sport.
Because there were a lot of people there that were from like all across the country that were really fast, and how other people swam and like how their coaching was. But also it was definitely fun to just swim with a lot of the people that are really fast.
Seip agreed, but he says nerves were definitely high.
For me, it's definitely a little nerve-wracking. This is by far the fastest meet I've ever swam in my life. I know how to race in bigger meets now just because of that.
When it comes to competitive swimming, most people have two choices for where to swim, YMCA swimming or USA swimming. Griffin says it's very common for kids to swim for both organizations. Seip, in fact, is one of those swimmers. He says that while a lot of the structure is the same on both teams, there's a heart to YMCA swimming that makes it stand out.
With this team on YMCA, it's like a family. Like, this last meet was so emotional and, like, heart-driven just because we never get to, swim with these people again.
Griffin says that's by design.
YMCA swimming is really marked by a sense of community and so that support within that community. But it's also more team-driven rather than maybe individually driven. And the idea around that is we want teams to come together and represent their YMCA and really have that overall sense of connectedness.
She says in YMCA swimming, teams come up through their community to the state and then national level, and it's important they feel a sense of pride in their community at each step. Evan says one thing he wants people to better understand about swimming competitively is how much work and dedication the sport takes.
Because like you have to be in the pool all the time just working, and you have to fix every little thing to just get to where you are. And it takes a lot of time and effort, and it's just a lot more work than a lot of people would think.
But Griffin says YMCA's goal is for kids to take away more than just the competitive wins and losses of the sport. She says kids likely won't remember the medals they won at 16 or where they placed.
But your memories are all, your formative memories are all around the interaction with teammates and the lessons you learned the hard way and how to be resilient. And so that's really why we do what we do, is to help them on that journey.
As the summer season continues, Evans is looking forward to the next step in his competitive journey.
We can hopefully get a few city records and hopefully just have fun and build better bonds with people.
Take your mark.
For WBOI News, I'm Ella Abbott.
For more information on this story, visit WBOI.org. More news in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Support for WBOI comes from Heartland Sings, presenting their summer season, performing family-friendly music at Fort Wayne Parks, Sundays at 3 p.m. Heartland Sings, changing lives through song. Details at heartlandsings.org/events.
Here's what to know for today. The Kids Count Data Book placed Indiana 29th in the country, assessing conditions including health, economics, education, family, and community. The Indiana Board of Health has adopted animal movement restrictions after a pest not seen in decades, the screwworm, made its way to the United States this month. And sustainable clothing vendors are seeing a growing interest in the fight against fast fashion, as local artists in central Indiana are looking to find more sustainable ways to be fashionable. That's Who and What for Tuesday, June 16th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.